Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to your Hollywood Crime Scene mini episode.
Hi.
Hey, Desi.
We've already talked for like 2 hours and I'm just kidding.
It's true. We've been doing an entire show without the mics going.
Well, now we'll do something for the mics.
Perfect.
So I mentioned at the end of last main episode that I had some Olive Thomas hauntings that I was going to talk about.
Yay.
So all of this information is from Playbill Magazine, the official Broadway.
Playbill printed this?
It's not like the Playbill that you get when you go see a show.
Oh.
It's like they're, it's like a Broadway theater news.
Playbill has
so they
a
have
magazine?
Like a magazine. Well, it's online. Okay. I didn't like order it or something. Oh, you don't get Playbill Magazine? I get it delivered every month with InStyle.
Oh, okay. So let's get into some hauntings.
Well, if we ever want to get into it, there's tons of Broadway haunting stories available to us. But I'm just going to focus on Olive Thomas, who haunts the New Amsterdam Theater. If you remember, that's where she performed in Follies, and she did the rooftop show, the special rooftop show on the top of the theater there.
With the balloons.
That's right. The dream outfit. The dream act.
That.
So, I mean, they've experienced every ghostly manifest like thing that you can experience with her. They have, you know, colored mist, cold spots, seeing figures backstage, apparitions, etc. And sometimes like that ectoplasmic white like substance.
The jizz.
That's just a guy. That's just the guy who came in.
That's just Billy.
Yeah, he just comes in on the intermission, comes in the back row.
And he's like, it's
he blamed Olive.
The ghost is back.
So actors and crew members at the New Amsterdam Theater have experienced all of these with Olive Thomas, who I mentioned before is the one-time Ziegfeld Follies girl that we covered on the main episode this week. And she's actually the most active ghost on Broadway, according to Playbill Magazine. And the guy who's interviewed in this article is named Dana Amendola. He is the vice president of operations for Disney Theatrical Group, which owns the theater now. So I think they have done plays like Aladdin here and stuff like that. Maybe The Lion King.
Okay.
Has happened here. I think whatever Disney musicals are happening, happen at this theater now. So one story he tells is that a group of Disney staffers were sitting in an office discussing the Oscar-winning film The Artist, which is set in the silent film era. Did you see that movie?
I did not.
Okay, I didn't either. They were wondering how many Folly girls became film stars, and they mentioned her name, but somebody said the real star of the silent era was Mary Pickford, who was Olive's sister-in-law, as we all know. Now, Olive got a little upset about that because when someone said, I wonder what Olive Thomas would think of The Artist, a stack of 13 or 14 DVDs on the table next to them flew into the air and crashed across the room. They all sat in stunned silence. That stack had been there for a long time, and there was no obvious way it could have fallen, let alone flew across the room. They didn't fall straight down as CDs would have done. They went flying about 3 feet across the room and hit a wall. This was witnessed by several people. They didn't even make the connection to Olive right away, but when they told me about it, I did. Now, another odd thing started happening. Workers at the New Amsterdam began telling friends that they had run into Olive backstage. And they didn't know she was dead. They're like, oh, I met Olive backstage.
What?
Yeah. So several people started mentioning that they had met her, not realizing that she was dead.
What was she wearing?
Clothes from the 20s. I don't know what she was wearing.
I mean, I guess if you're in a theater, they could think, oh, she's in a...
I don't know.
They're like, what play are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, seeing someone in a costume was not unusual backstage at a theater, I'm guessing. Like, I've been in places like Lincoln Center where they're rehearsing a play and people are walking around the hallways and you just don't even, like, give it a second thought, really.
Yeah.
So this guy, Amendola, who said he's not exactly a believer but has become less of a skeptic, he said that when he was touring the old New Amsterdam Roof Theater, which is now like a big theater, this area where she used to perform, and had also been converted partially into an office space, he passed below the stage. He suddenly and distinctly heard the sound of tap dancing on the boards above him. He climbed up to the stage level and he found that he was alone. I like ghostly tap dancing.
Ooh.
Mama loves shortening, shortening, shortening.
Dude, I love that song.
It's the best song. When I fantasized. I pitched a sketch once when I was doing like comedy.
Yeah.
And I was like, all I have is that I'm a little girl. And I was like, just get your fantasies done elsewhere. But I wanted to sing that song and I was practicing my tap moves. And I was like, I don't really have much, but I think that alone is really funny. And I'm singing that song of all songs.
We should make that happen at some point.
Yeah.
I would love just a video of you singing.
To look like, kind of like Rhoda Penmark, like that style with the braids and like the pinafore dress.
Singing Mama Love Shortening Bread.
There's something about that song.
I've always loved it since I was a kid.
Yeah. And you could just sing. It's like a song you can sing. You could picture being really funny the longer the person does it. And like they get more emotionally frustrated as they're singing it. Look, I think it's a hit. That's the type of sketch I want to see. Now people mention that she was wearing a sash sometimes. I don't know what that means. Like a beauty pageant sash.
Oh.
I never know what a sash is.
Or like a robe?
Robe, I remember like in Cinderella, the stepsisters ripped her sash. And I was always like, what's a sash?
It's a thing that ties your robe
together. Yeah, it's like a, yeah, but it's not like a tie. It's like different, I think. I don't know. And some people have seen her carrying a bottle of pills. Some say that she has spoken different things. And people tried to imitate her voice, but no one could get it exactly right. So she has some kind of odd ghostly voice. Now, in the early Disney era, Amendola said a night watchman at the theater resigned on the spot after reportedly witnessing a woman cross the stage and disappear through a solid wall. Olive often appears in the trap beneath that roof where I mentioned she was tap dancing. The space is now used for storage, but employees report seeing a woman there or sometimes a disembodied part of a foot climbing a stair. Just see like a ghostly foot. It's like almost just like fades out or something. So they just see the foot.
Creepy.
I have no idea. So I mentioned Aladdin has been there. There was also Mary Poppins production there. They've said like a performer in Mary Poppins. I don't know if it was Mary Poppins, saw Olive in a dressing room getting ready, like before a show, like she was just sitting there getting ready.
What if you were performing on Broadway and you saw an apparition while you were on stage?
Like I
that
know.
Would, for me personally, as someone who strongly believes in ghosts,
you'd have to break the fourth wall.
I'd be like, does anyone else see that?
A ghost.
I would freak out.
Now, Amendola said this actress actually said to her at some point, because she saw her frequently, "Well, Olive, I'm back again and I'm a little nervous. I just wanted to introduce myself again and ask you if you could please give me some good luck."
He said he actually saw her.
The actress.
Oh, the actress.
That said to him that she used to start talking to her, like, give me some good luck. Like, that's how often she would see her. So sometimes she would enter this dressing room and bulbs would flicker on and off for a few seconds as well. So she took that as a sign that Olive was giving her like a wink and good luck. So that's like a positive spin on it. Now, she's also made appearances in the crowd during a show. Shortly after the opening of Aladdin in 2014, an audience member came up to one of the ushers during a performance asking if she could have a booster seat for her child. They said that they didn't want to interrupt the show, so they would have to wait till intermission and give her the booster. But when they came during intermission with the booster, they found that she already had one. She said that a lady at the back of the theater gestured to her where they were, and she went and got one herself. But no one knows who that woman was, and they think that it was Olive. So he says that now everyone kind of embraces Olive there. She's never violent. It's always playful kind of stuff. She's just there living at the theater. No one's really scared anymore. She does sometimes, like, she doesn't perform on cue, he said. Like, she won't show up on Halloween. And people do go there now to try to catch a glimpse of her. And she doesn't, like, do it. She's like, fuck you to the tourist. Like, people go now wanting to see her, and she kind of doesn't really appear for them.
It's like a cat.
Yeah, I like it. I feel like that fits her personality too.
Yeah.
She definitely had that kind of like, fuck you attitude. So I like it. But sometimes the ghost hunters can be like a problem for staff. They have to oftentimes at the end of shows do a search throughout the theater because people try to hide and stay in the theater overnight to find her. That's big it's gotten.
Well, she's never going to show up for that.
No.
You have to just be there existing.
Yeah. So imagine getting busted in that sweep. That's got to be so
embarrassing.
So now she's like I think there's a lot of pictures of Ziegfeld girls like in the lobby or something there. And she's like the most popular one by far. Everyone's always interested in her. And Amendola said, that would really delight Olive and annoy all the other Ziegfeld girls, I'm sure. So I like that Olive is happy. She's getting all the attention and that all the other girls are still mad at her. Like they were when she was fucking Florence.
I mean, do you think so there could be possibly other Ziegfeld girls trying to make ghostly appearances?
Maybe, but they're just like, well, no one fucking cares. They just want Olive.
She's like one of the most famous ones.
I think so. I mean, I can't think of another one unless there's famous actresses I didn't know were former Ziegfeld girls.
Yeah.
Like I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah. So that's the haunting of the New Amsterdam. By Miss Olive.
I really want you to see a ghost, Desi. I want to share like a paranormal experience with you.
Okay. Well, I'll try. I'm not scared. So I'll just go in.
I know.
I'm always the one in those movies that they try to go after because they're like, we got to convince the skeptic first, right? And then I turn white as a sheet.
Right.
And I go, ghost. Okay. So I have a few news stories. Okay. Let me just get this one out of the way. Now, sometimes this happens. We record our mini episode. And a news story breaks after we've recorded that we are just absolutely fucking furious that we missed. Sometimes we don't get back to them, but this one just has to be hit on. And that is a NBC show called Ultimate Slip and Slide had to pause production because of explosive diarrhea outbreak. Now...
Look, I don't know a story that is more tailored to us than this one. Because I uploaded last week's mini episode and this story broke immediately after, and I immediately texted you or I replied you on Twitter and I was like, I can't believe we already did the mini.
Yeah, like it was like literally right when I got home that night or something when I saw the news story, and then we started going back and forth with diarrhea. I was trying to find it on Twitter because we made up our own diarrhea song lyrics because this story is straight out of diarrhea song like lore. If you don't know the diarrhea song,
look,
we'll be doing a very in-depth episode on it at some point.
If you don't know the diarrhea song is one of my favorite songs of all time. And it's basically like multiple verses. And in each instance of like each example is like an action that somebody is doing and they have diarrhea during that action. And sometimes they're climbing up a ladder. Sometimes they're driving in their Chevy.
Sometimes they're sliding into first.
My favorite ones are the baseball ones.
Oh, there's a few. Because you got first and third.
And I said to you, I said, I would love to find real life instances of these things actually happening. So this story is like a real life instance.
Well, because you're literally sliding.
When you're going down a slide.
Our friend Andy had a funny tweet where he said something like... Was this considered cheating? Like, I don't even know what the premise of the game is. Like, what is the... I mean, maybe it's just one of those games where people are doing an insane stunt slip and slide.
Yeah.
So I don't even know. But I was like, yeah, because that could give you an extra... It's like putting tar on a baseball. Maybe you go faster. Or maybe the propulsion could actually make you go up.
I like that Ron Funches, I think he's like a producer on the show.
Oh, he's the host. Okay. Him and Bobby Moynihan.
Okay, so Bobby Moynihan and Ron Funches, they're the hosts of the show. And Ron Funches quote tweeted the story and he's like, I can't believe like I did there, like, whatever. Yeah, like,
can dream. He said something like, you know, you only can dream so hard. Like, and some things just surpass your dreams. Like, you could never even have put this on your vision board,
but
right?
But like in the deadline, there was like a deadline article about this story and it was like both of their faces in the story.
Yes.
And he was like, he quote tweeted that. He's like, great. Like, this is
my legacy.
He's
like smiling. It's like the publicity shots for
that. He's like, it's like, this picture makes me look like I did this on purpose.
Yeah. Ultimate slip and slide.
With diarrhea.
We said ultimate. What did you think we meant by extreme? basically they got, I don't know how to say it, giardia, which is like a parasite that causes diarrhea. I've never had it.
So contestants.
I think contestants and crew. And so just obviously that shit spread. No pun intended. It just spread fast because they're in close quarters. It's like a bacteria. So I'm sure it's like one of those things where it's like, wash your hands, people, before you go to craft services. It just spread. And people were... here's the press release. Wet and Wild, new series that takes spirit of the classic backyard slide and transforms it into a real life water park full of gigantic slippery rides with a chance to bring home a big cash prize or diarrhea. So it's unclear. I like this sentence. It's scheduled to premiere August 8th. It's unclear how the diarrhea might delay the production. Why is diarrhea so funny? I haven't been this happy since the hot diarrhea attack. Do you remember?
Oh, that was scary.
That was scary. But it had a great name. Now, there was something, I can't remember if it was in this story. Oh, 40 crew members got sick with this diarrhea. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And they were actually getting faint and like, because, you know, you can get very dehydrated if you have diarrhea. And they were all running to the porta potties due to this awful explosive diarrhea. Oh, that's a quote.
Having diarrhea in a porta potty.
I could barely pee in a porta potty.
Yeah.
Because I can't look down in that hole and see like the one turd on top of a toilet paper.
Always,
there's always that one turd sitting right on top. And I always look. I don't know what's wrong with me. It's like impossible. Anyway, I'm not going to go further. I've already said too much. I wasn't going to let that one slide through the cracks. Wait, now everything I say is a diarrhea pun, like unintentionally. There is also a cat story I wanted to talk about. So this is a woman in Oregon. She had a cat that has been stealing from her neighbors. This cat is a thief, Rachel. She had to alert her neighbors about her cat that was a thief. So she put up a sign in her front yard that said, "My cat is a thief." She did a homemade clothesline in front that's hanging all of the gloves and face masks her cat has stolen from people's homes. So the cat has been going into neighbors' homes, stealing their face masks and gloves. That's the only two things the cat takes. So she put up the sign that her cat is a thief. Please look at these items. And she has them all hanging so people can find their missing masks and gloves.
It's quite a lot of items.
He stole a lot. He's really, and then I liked on the sign, the cat has a glove in its mouth walking.
It's like a painting of the cat.
It's a painting of the cat with a glove in his mouth walking away. She said that it has worked a little bit. She's like, people have been coming by and taking some pairs of gloves, but mostly people are just taking pictures to post on social media. Some people, obviously, cat stealing things from people started sharing their own stories because obviously cats go into people's homes and take things.
They do?
I don't know. That's a thing.
No, I thought they just went in there to eat.
No, this woman said, "We had a cat burglar who brought home socks, mail, photographs, a t-shirt, and a bag of medium length cable ties." I had to sneak around reposting letters through the neighbor's doors because he would take their mail and she would have to go back and deliver it to them. My cat was an indoor cat. He brought us gifts from our basement, the lint brush from the dryer, rubber gloves, curls of wood if my husband had used woodworking tools, and little containers of screws and nails. Now, this one was my favorite one. My cat used to come home with the collars of other cats. I was convinced he was a cat serial killer.
That's like trophies.
And these were his trophies. She's like, sometimes I wanted to sleep with a knife under my pillow, and then I have to show you the serial killer cat. But where was he getting those collars? I think he was fighting with them, maybe, yes. and they popped off. Anyway, I thought that was a cute story.
I will say that one of the cutest things in the world is when you see your cat walking across the house with something in their mouth.
I love it.
It's like my cats do it all the time, especially Kugel. Kugel, my 1-year-old tabby, he has a favorite mouse toy and he is constantly walking around with that thing in his mouth.
Yes. I love like stuffed animals. I also love if it's like a chicken tender or like food, like a big piece of food where it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You can't possibly eat that. Like my older cat who died a few months ago, I would always catch him with a chicken finger in his mouth, like walking. I was like, where are you taking it? Like, what are you doing with that? It's like they want to hide it or something.
They like hiding stuff.
Yeah. No, it's really funny. One of my other cats used to play fetch. So sometimes he would come to me with like a crumpled up paper ball in his mouth and drop it so I would throw it to him.
That's so cute.
It's really cute. He stopped playing fetch though. I think he got old and I stopped doing it because it does get annoying. It's like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore. You can only throw the ball so many times. Like, do you know what I mean? Anyway, so this other story I'm just going to mention, I'm pulling it up on my Twitter because I bookmarked it there. Did you see the guy who had to go to Waffle House?
I saw that Waffle House was trending, but I didn't click on it.
So this guy named Brandon, he is in Mississippi. He lost a football fantasy football league. And his punishment was he had to spend 24 hours in Waffle House for losing.
Oh, God.
Now, every waffle that he ate would shave an hour off the clock. So he was obviously had an incentive to try to eat waffles. Now, Rachel, so he starts off with 2 waffles. So that takes him down 2 hours, et cetera. Like that's how it's working. He gets stuffed after like 4 waffles.
Okay. Cause when you first read this, I'm thinking I could probably eat 24 waffles.
I was like, okay. He starts getting in discomfort after 4 waffles after only, I think, so he had been there for 1.5 hours. So he ate 4 waffles in 1.5 hours and he was already starting to cramp up and get sick. Now, Waffle House waffles are thin.
Yes.
They're not like super thick waffles and you don't have to eat shit on it like strawberries or whatever. So yeah, he ends up eating, I think, 9 waffles total. And he's like in pain and he's like, I'm never eating waffles again. I thought that was insane because I was like, I know over a period of 15 hours, I could easily eat
24 waffles.
I feel like I could do it.
Me
like,
too.
I don't know what this guy's problem is. He looks like a pretty like big guy. Like he's like tall and like,
honestly, this would be a great charity fundraiser is for us to do at some point. Is like we have to, where we go to a Waffle House and see who can eat the most waffles in a 24-hour period.
Yes. Now, that's interesting that you brought that up. Because once this story broke, someone was like, well, there was actually another guy who did this. And this might be where they got the idea. This guy went to a Waffle House, I think this is just like half a year ago. So like from January, he went to a Waffle House and had a pretty similar deal. So maybe this is a thing people are doing. Now, what he did that was interesting, he set up a Venmo, or like he got people on social media following his journey, kind of like this guy did, but he started asking for them to send money. And at the end of the night, he gave his waitress $1,000 tip that he earned from the Venmo like fundraising effort.
That's so nice.
So yeah. So it was like, he's like, don't worry, I'm going to take care of you when he went in. Something that every waiter hates hearing, because we know that's the one person who will tip us the worst. But he actually did take care of her and he was there for like 15 hours. So I'm glad that she did get her tip.
Yeah.
And she was actually in tears because she's like, obviously like many people has had a rough year.
Yeah.
So it was nice to get it. I'm sure that's the biggest tip that's ever happened at a Waffle House by far.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's why Waffle House has been in the news. And I thought I would hit upon that. So that's all I have for you guys as far as stories go.
Great. Should we take a break and come back?
Let's all take a break.
Okay.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm a huge fan of Rocket Money. Not only did they help me find and cancel some of my unwanted subscriptions, in general, they've given me a great picture of my financial status and helped me save money. I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love the dashboard that shows me this month's spending compared to last month's, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. That's rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene. rocketmoney.com/Hollywood Crime Scene.
Desi, did you read anything or watch anything or listen to anything great this week?
I watched a bunch of disaster action movies that are all kind of bad.
Okay.
So, but I liked them. I mean, I had a lot of fun. So I watched the Fallen movies, which are like Olympus Fallen has fallen, London has fallen with Gerard Butler. In fact, I think I watched 5 Gerard Butler movies this week when I've never seen one before. Okay. So I watched those. I'm sorry. It's just ridiculous. I watched Geostorm, which is stupid, but it's like the perfect 1 a.m. movie to start at 1 a.m.
I watched it a few months ago.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's some laugh out loud. I feel like I like action movies when they're really good or really hilariously bad. Like,
yeah.
And trying. And then I also watched Greenland, which is actually probably a good movie. Like that movie was by far the best movie of the ones I watched. It's also a disaster survival type movie. And there's a sequel coming. So I'm kind of excited for that.
There's a sequel to Greenland?
Yeah. I read about it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I think that'll be cool.
I liked that movie.
It's really good. I think it's low key. I think it dropped like right around when the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And no one saw it. Which
is
surprising. I think it's really good. It's on HBO Max. And then I did start Bosch today because I saw that the 7th season is out. And for some reason that inspired me because I did think it was over and I was like, ah, who fucking cares? But there's something about like, oh, the 7th season's out. I have to watch 60 hours of television before it comes. Like, that's what I'm like, that's my goal. But I'm already behind because I like calculated it where it was like 8 hours a day.
Oh my God.
So stupid.
Dude.
I'm not going to finish.
My journey with Bosch was so funny because I started it like really into it and really like willing and really willing to like immerse myself in the world of Bosch. And by the end of it, I was basically just like, you know, ACAB, but especially Bosch.
Yes. I mean,
and not because Bosch is like a particularly like horrific detective, but just because I was so disinterested in the show.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited for the first season because I've already been introduced to the killer, I guess, of the season. I don't know if each season is a case or what. So I'm a little more into the story now. And I know that he has a horrific background, Bosch.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, child abuse. I have that. It kind of made me think.
Maybe you can relate to it.
Maybe I'll relate more to him.
Yeah, but it was fine. I just like, look, it was really hard to take him seriously after he said that Paquito Moss was the best Mexican in LA.
Right.
I was like, what are you talking about?
I don't even think I've had that. So that's how I know it's bad.
I was,
because I would have had it if it was good.
I was rereading like the synopsis of season four, because that's around when I stopped watching.
Okay.
I think I watched halfway of season four, and like, you know what it was? It was like Brendan went out of town for work. So we had been watching it together.
Yeah.
So I stopped watching it because he was out of town and we like to watch. We always have like one show we're watching together.
Yeah.
Look, it's very boring.
No, but I think that sometimes when you're watching something with someone, you realize that you don't really like it when they're gone. I was like, do you know what I mean? Because you're not like that into it without them.
Yeah. Like we'd have our dumb commentary to each other. And
I think that makes a difference.
Yeah.
And if they're into it, it's like passable for you. But without them, it's like, I don't want to watch this. Like,
right.
It's not that it's a bad show. I mean, so far.
Right.
But it's definitely not as compelling as other shows I've watched where I'm like desperate for the next episode or something.
Right. Well, the second season of Lupin just came out.
Oh, did you like that?
I did. Okay. I really liked the first season. I haven't seen the second season.
I started that, but then I realized I watched for like 15 minutes with it dubbed.
That's what I did.
And I was like, this sounds weird. And then I turned subtitles on and it sounded better, but I was like, I can't read. How am I supposed to look at my phone and read at the same time?
You gotta have the dubbing. You gotta have the dubbing.
Okay, I'm gonna rewatch it with a dub and just fucking give up all of my like integrity completely.
Yeah, you gotta have the dubbing. I enjoyed the first season of it.
No, someone recommended it to me as well, saying it was great.
Yeah.
So I'll go back with dubbing. I don't have the patience right now. It's like I read so much for work. Obviously you do too.
Yeah.
That it's like when I watch TV, I can't do too much thinking right now.
It's true. My brain is like oatmeal.
I don't want to think. And sometimes like you've said this too, and I do it too. I have to have subtitles on because I can't even hear. I can't read. Like I can't process information and I don't feel like rewinding. I just want to see it if I need to. You know what I mean? Like
it took me like 3 hours to get through one chapter of this book I'm reading for the episode next week, just because I was so just distracted and like, you know, things are reopening up and like my mind is just like so somewhere else right now. And like, I don't know. So I've been watching Bones. It's okay.
How everyone is in the dredges of their viewing. Like we've watched everything sometimes twice.
Right. We know.
And now we're like, okay, I'm finally going to do, you know, some show that was done in 2007.
It's true. We don't know when Succession's coming back.
I don't. When's the next Mare? No one knows.
We don't know when the next prestige drama is coming back. We don't know when the Game of Thrones prequel's coming.
No, we're all like, kind of like, well, maybe I'll watch Boston Legal.
Right.
I don't know.
I'll watch... Or The Practice.
What were you going to watch? The Blacklist? Or
oh, okay. So last week, on last week's mini episode, I was talking about a show. I said I was a show with Andrew McCarthy.
Oh, I should have put two and two together.
I was wrong. It wasn't Andrew McCarthy. It was James Spader. But that's, come on. That you could see why I made that mistake.
Now I see why. I can't believe I didn't put that together. Because I think I actually was like, oh, I felt like there was low-key a show with Andrew McCarthy in it.
Well, I looked... And Andrew McCarthy did like two episodes of this show.
Oh.
So he was like a guest star at one point.
Right. And I'm sure that was like a very special episode. Like you can picture them marketing it.
Like
Blaine and Steph are back together. I'm sure that would work on at least 40 people.
Right. 40 Gen Xers.
The crossover between The Blacklist and Pretty in Pink has got to be pretty intense.
Yeah. I watched like a half of that episode and I was like, I don't fucking care.
I never liked that show because he's always like in the shadows with his hat.
I hated the hat so much.
It's just kind of like, what is this character? I don't care. It's too serious. He's like too like...
It was like too CIA for me.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. I think we're all ran out of things to watch.
Right.
Especially TV show wise. Like yeah. They couldn't produce new things because it was quarantine.
Right.
And then everyone watched everything. They never expected us to watch it all.
No. We watched all of it.
We watched every show.
I've seen every single prestige drama now.
Me too. Any sort of soap opera, family drama, I've seen it.
Or thriller drama.
Yeah. And I've seen almost every, like you can tell when everyone's like tweeting about like a movie that's 30 years old. You're like, oh, it must have just dropped on one of the streaming channels. Because why is everyone watching Cruising all of a sudden? Like,
right.
Or some random like Ashley Judd thriller.
Right.
It's like, oh, it's on Netflix now. That's why. And yeah. Everyone's desperate. They're like, have you guys seen Double Jeopardy with Ashley Judd?
Well, have you?
Well, it's on Netflix now.
I know. I saw.
I saw it back in the day. Yeah. And I almost watched it the other night.
So I liked
it. I should watch those Ashley Judd movies. There's like four from that time period that are really good.
Along Came a Spider.
Yeah. She had like four good movies in 2 years.
Kiss the Girls.
Oh, Kiss the Girls. Those are those James Patterson ones.
Dude,
I like those.
When is that era coming back? I want the mid-budget thriller to come back.
I love suspense thrillers of that ilk. Like,
right.
Where it's not too complicated. I can follow it. You know, it's like a damsel in distress. She's got some, her kid's gone or whatever.
Morgan Freeman's there.
Yeah. He was in Fallen movies. He's in those. Yeah. Olympus Has Fallen. Morgan Freeman's in it, those movies. He always lends a nice touch.
Yeah.
Because he's like, you know, not president, but like vice president and speaker of the house. He works his way up the chain. Yeah.
I watched Face Off.
Oh, right.
Okay, I had never seen Face Off.
Crazy.
I know I've said it on the show before, but like the trailer for Face Off has been burned into my brain since 1997.
Yeah.
Because like John Travolta, he goes, ooh, wee, you're good looking.
Insane.
And I was like, are you kidding me? What is this movie? This is an insane person. It is one of the most insane movies I've ever seen in my life. First of all, I love Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Like, I genuinely think he's he's like one of my favorite actors. Like, I will watch so many things with Nicolas Cage. Yes, somebody tweeted at me, have you seen The Wicker Man? Duh, of course I've seen The Wicker Man.
Yeah.
Like, of course. He's fucking phenomenal in it. Yes, I've seen Vampire's Kiss. Like, I've seen every Nicolas Cage movie.
Yeah.
Even the like really, really bad ones, which reminded
were
me.
Were a lot.
Yeah. Like, even the ones he's done just to make like a quick buck because he bought way too many antiquities.
And I almost watched World Trade Center the other night.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
It's on Netflix.
Okay, maybe I'll watch that. He did a movie that is like a Christian movie that is so awful, but I want you to see it so bad.
Okay.
And it was on Netflix when I saw it, maybe like a year or two ago. And it's like an apocalypse movie.
Okay.
And it takes place on an airplane and there's like an apocalypse happening.
Okay.
And he's like the dad.
Oh, I like it.
It's really bad.
Okay.
But
I like bad movies.
No, it's so bad. And I laughed out loud like multiple times.
That's the best kind of comedy.
I know. I agree. So those are the kinds of movies I'm very interested in right now is like.
Me too.
Very absurd. I really like absurd disaster movies.
Yes. I enjoy them all even when they're bad. It's like, they're usually like an hour and a half. Like, yeah. Most of them aren't long.
Except for fucking Face Off. It was 2.5 hours long.
But Face Off is good.
Well, it's bad good.
But it's, as far as bad movies goes, it's like high quality because it's John Woo. Like,
oh yeah.
It's like an A-list movie. Like,
I mean, the budget on that movie must have been insane.
Right.
Like, first of all.
Like, Geostorm's budget was not good.
No.
Like the special effects looked lame.
You know what's a good bad disaster movie that came out a few years ago is San Andreas with The Rock. I think you would like that.
Okay.
There's a lot of jiggly boobs in it.
Okay.
Do
you think of me?
Well, like they're running a lot.
Oh, they're running.
They're running a lot because there's a huge earthquake. The San Andreas fault like erupts or something.
Okay. That's scary because that's us.
Well, that's us. Yeah. Look. I'm not afraid of earthquakes. I've grown up with earthquakes.
I'm not afraid of earthquakes either, but I definitely don't want to run. No. I'm afraid of running.
Well, there's a lot of running in this movie. I really liked San Andreas. I've seen it twice.
I do want to see a movie I've never seen that's like a classic, and that's Twister.
It's aight.
It is?
Look, it wasn't for me, but I respect it as a classic disaster film
right.
that people love. Personally, for me, it wasn't my favorite,
okay.
but I understand that it is considered like a classic.
Well, I feel like I should see it.
I'll
like it. Cause I'm pretty weird with disasters. Like I either want really high quality or really low quality or something like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I think you should watch 2012. I love that.
Okay. I will.
It's great. I mean, the budget for that movie is insane. Like the disaster, just the destruction in that movie is fucking great.
I also think it would be funny because John Cusack is so annoying.
He's in it, and Woody Harrelson is great in it.
Oh, I love Woody Harrelson. He plays like that's one of my favorite actors. I love him in everything.
Me too.
He makes everything better.
He's great in this movie. John Cusack, obviously, he's great in this movie. So, I mean, he's just very John Cusack.
Right.
You know, he's like very...
Now, that's fun to watch because you're like, he definitely did this for the paycheck.
Oh, totally. And you know what? I liked it. I'm sure it wasn't a critical success, but it's a very like...
That's always funny because I was... After I enjoyed Olympus Has Fallen, like I really liked it. I read the reviews and it was all like the worst. This is the worst movie of the year. And it's always so shocking. You're like, I thought it was really fun. Like, did you guys go in thinking it was going to be great? Like, because I didn't go in with any expectation. And I was like, it did its job. I was tense. I was scared. I was excited. And then I was happy at the end when everything worked out perfectly. Like, I was like, what do you fucking want? Like,
I treat movies and TV. I feel the way about movies and TV the way I feel about food. I like a variety of foods across the spectrum from very gourmet to very, like, you know,
right,
fast food stuff. And yes, do I have particulars within that spectrum? Of course, there's stuff I like and I don't like. But I can enjoy, you know, something as lowbrow as like Cheese Whiz on crackers and also enjoy like haute cuisine.
Yeah.
They're not the same thing.
It's just so funny and so internet to be like, that was great. And then just be shot down. Oh my God. You're the biggest idiot on the planet.
That literally happens to me all the time.
It's so funny. Cause I was like, really? Like, I was like, yeah, it's not the best movie, but it's like three out of five stars. It's like a solid middle of the road, enjoyable movie. Like,
or there's like the inverse of that where there's this critically acclaimed movie and I like don't like I hate it seeing it. And it's not even that I hate it for snobbish reasons. I hate it because I'm a dumb bitch and I'm like, it was boring.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I feel like that's the majority of what I have happened. So this was like a complete new thing. I was like, oh, and these are people who might have all these reasonings that I don't even think of. Like, it's just like, it's fine. Like, don't think about your politics right now, like, or whatever, like,
or like plot holes.
Yeah. Plot holes. It's like, this isn't the type of movie you do that with. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they're flying the flag. That's not who I am in real life. But in the movie, it's like, great.
Go for it.
They're saving the president. Like, who's the movie? Like,
yeah, it's just a movie.
Yeah, it's like, I don't really enjoy Westminster Abbey being destroyed, but in the movie, I'm like, yeah, look at it fall. You know what I mean? It's like a fucking movie. Like,
oh my God. Yeah, so definitely looking for some new, maybe under the radar or hidden gem disaster movies. I heard there's this one, it's a Swedish movie called The Wave.
Oh, haven't heard of it.
I heard it's good. But again, that's the subtitles.
I'm like, when I hear sweet foreign.
And I do like a lot of foreign films.
I do too. It's just not my brain right now.
Yeah.
For sure. But no, I've seen a ton of foreign films. But yeah.
Look, we've seen foreign films.
I only love foreign films. Normally, I'm very smart.
Do you have a favorite foreign film?
You know what I really like?
British doesn't count, does he?
I'm not going to say a British movie. What is the one? Oh, fuck, it's slipping my mind. The one with Sandra Bullock where she gets kidnapped by Kiefer Sutherland. Did you see that American movie? There's like a Swedish version. I saw the original version. Like, it's slipping my mind right now. It's such a scary movie because she gets buried alive.
Wait, oh, I want to see this movie.
Oh, I'll tell you what it is. Oh, now I have to look it up.
Okay, hold on. We'll take a break. Okay, we're back.
Okay, the movie is called The Vanishing. So this is from 93, but before this movie came out, it was based on a foreign movie, and that one's even scarier. I actually saw the foreign movie after The Vanishing, like the Americanized version, and it still was scary, even though I knew the whole, you know, obviously the whole story. So it's basically, in the American one, if you watch that, it stars Jeff Bridges, Kiefer Sutherland, and Sandra Bullock, and this is like maybe one of her first big roles, I think, like, for sure. So he abducts, he's like a kidnapper. He's like that type of guy. He kidnaps young
he's
women.
He's always creepy.
Yeah. And she gets kidnapped.
Oh, good.
So it's
say
really
no more.
Scary.
Say no
yeah,
more.
Yeah, there's no more to say. It's very good. And the, I think it's Swedish. Yeah. It's equally good. Like,
okay.
It's even scarier because it's like you don't know the stars.
Yeah.
Do you know how sometimes like, it's creepier? Because you know everything's going to work out for Sandra Bullock.
Right.
But anyway, so yeah, that one was really good. I can't remember why. Oh, that's a foreign film I really like.
That's your favorite foreign film.
Yes. I mean, it might not be my favorite one, but that's one I really like that maybe not a lot of people know. I can think of, I like a lot of old classics.
Same.
Like the French New Wave. I like Jules and Jim. I like a lot of the Fellini, Dolce La Vita, like that kind of stuff.
Good right? for you. Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a lot of those because when I lived in New York, they play them a lot.
Right.
So I would go see those. But
we used to have more attention spans.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's another really good one. Umbrellas of Cherbourg. You should see that one. It's really good.
Okay.
And it's musical. So it's like,
I like that.
And it has an abortion storyline.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. What did you eat?
What did I eat?
Oh, I have an exciting announcement. I made rosemary shortbread yesterday.
Oh, wait, the kind my mom makes?
I don't know. I just found a recipe. I was almost going to like text your mom or like email her or DM her or
something.
I mean,
maybe it's like this is similar.
I'm sure it's very similar because it's like, what, four ingredients?
Yes. My mom makes rosemary shortbread cookies and it's literally like butter, flour,
sugar,
fresh rosemary.
Yeah. That was basically what it was. And it had like a smidge of honey in it too, I think.
Yeah.
Like like a teaspoon. And it was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I just randomly thought of making it because I always have butter, flour, sugar, and I have rosemary, obviously.
No, I was thinking of making that this week too because I have all the ingredients, including there's rosemary in my garden.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's good. I liked it.
Yeah.
It's very good. There's lots of recipes for it on the internet.
Yeah.
If you want to make it.
Right.
Yeah. I put salt in it too.
Oh,
so
yeah,
it has some nice crunch.
Salt. Yeah.
It's always nice when you get that salt bit mm-hmm. in a dessert. Yeah.
Okay. We almost went to Olive Garden tonight.
Yeah.
We almost went to Olive Garden. I was really excited. I was looking at the menu before Desi came over, planning what we were going to get. I was really eyeing the chocolate brownie lasagna. Just because that is so absurd.
Yeah.
But we called them and they said the wait was like 45 minutes to an hour. So we think everything is really popping right now because restrictions just got lifted in California.
Yeah. Even Olive Garden.
And everyone's rushing to, like, the waits are not just at like the fancy restaurants, like they're everywhere.
Yeah. So, you know what I've been craving is Nutella pizza. Remember we had that one
time?
We
could get that. We could order that. They have that. At Desano's.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we can make that too. It's so easy. Right. But like, I was thinking about that the other day. But yeah, we're going to go to some chain restaurants in the coming months.
We'll go during the week.
Yeah. I think things will calm down.
Yeah.
Olive Garden's just like, it's Friday night.
People are out.
People are out.
They want to be out. It's summertime.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know what I ate this week. I got my vegetable box yesterday.
To be honest, it's been too hot to cook.
I did make chili.
Oh, okay.
I made a really good chili.
That's good.
It's nice to have in the fridge.
I want watermelon.
Ooh.
That sounds refreshing.
Yeah. Watermelon salad season.
Yeah.
It's here.
It's here.
All right. Well, we'll do that this week. Okay. That's all I got.
Great.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.